After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, Look, you have given me no offspring indeed. One born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abram, Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your father in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, and in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. It came to pass, when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven, a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Canaanites, the Kenzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Gershites, and the Jebusites. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to those scriptures and turn tonight to Galatians chapter 3. And our text is taken from verses 6 to verse 9. Now, in ministry, sometimes things can definitely go wrong, and we can go down a wrong path. It was many years ago when one was starting out, and thankfully one was under a good minister and being trained and guided and directed, and having preached then on one particular Sunday, and everything seemed to go well, and then the next day you have the kind of review when he said, well, oh, there are many points where we can say, well, it was good, except this. It was heresy. It was heresy. Not that anybody wants to be a heretic, not at all in any way. But you know, it is possible for each and every one of us to go wrong. No matter how good we have been taught, it is possible for any church to go wrong, no matter what the background. Do you know, there is something and a power which is about, which wants to take God's people more than anything else from the gospel. There's a power at work which wants to take us from Calvary and take us from the cross and take us from the means of grace and take us from what it is that we're saved in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. And no matter how good a church may be, no matter even if you've had apostolic teaching, even as Paul came and taught these at Galatia. You find here in chapter 1, for example, in verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And what happens in this little book then of the book of Galatians, it's very simple in one sense to divide it. The first two chapters are a defense of what Paul preached to them. He defends that very message. He wants to show them that what he's preached to them, that a person can be saved by faith alone, is not anything new. It's that which was being preached in Jerusalem. It's the gospel which was once and for all delivered to the saints. And then you've got two other chapters where he begins to explain to them why it is, how they know that this is definitely the truth. It's not by any works, not by any laws, not by any ritual, not by any ceremony, not by anything added, but that you can know what it is tonight, that the gospel is one of grace. And he begins then to explain in the last two chapters, simply apply that a message to us. But tonight, we're in this application of explanation, where he is now explaining to them this great truth. And what happens, first of all, he tells them in verse 1, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What's happened? Who's taken you away?" And that's a question for each and every one of us. Do you know, in our Christian lives, always remember this. How was it that you had peace with God? When was it that God came into your life? When was the moment when you knew that God had done something and you had come to him? And you know it, don't you? The day you cried out to him, you said, "I believe, Lord, help me, save me, come to me." And he came into your life, you know that. And he says to them, "Oh, foolish Galatians, don't you know that? Do you remember how Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified? And then you began, and then all of a sudden you've walked away." Then what he does here in verse 6, he doesn't just give them an argument from their experience. He gives them an argument from the example of Abraham. He tells us in verse 6, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Now I'm told that in the scientific community, there was some debate or discussion. There was something which they decided to do, where they decided to think of what was the best and the greatest invention to mankind. And you know what the greatest and the best and more profitable invention to mankind is. It's not hard, even I got it. And it was the wheel, it was the wheel. And simply not because the wheel helps us to travel faster, but in the criteria that they had, in the dimensions of the invention. When you think of it, the wheel in industry, in machinery, the wheel in the implements that you've got at home, so many things operate by it. And so it is tonight, I want to say to you, there's a teaching in God's word, which in one sense is the chief of all teachings, in which your spiritual life can blossom and grow and come to that fruition in which God wants you to enjoy the things of him. This is vital. And when Paul writes to this letter, just simply this point tonight, and it's this: as a church, it's desperate that we get the gospel right. And anyone here as an individual, it is even more desperate that you be right tonight, even with God. And so what happens is that he comes now, and Paul then is really going to explain to them that these people who have come and trying to add something, that you can earn the grace and the merit and the blessing and the favor of God, having then exposed to them of their testimony, he gives them this wonderful example of what Abraham knew, of what Abraham experienced, of what Abraham was taught. And as he turns to Abraham, there's a great significance in that. that he doesn't turn to Moses. He turns to Abraham because Abraham was one who was the great figure of these people. And Abraham actually lived hundreds of years before Moses was ever born, before the law was ever given. And he comes and he returns to Abraham. And to this account, which we read, remember we read it there, just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. And this, in the experience of Abraham, was even before the covenant of circumcision. Even before that, there was something that happened. And in that very portion I read to you, just turn to it for a moment, because it is a wonderful portion of what happened, is that you see Abraham in his life, is that God came to him and gave him a promise. And the promise would be as a child. He would have a child, an heir from his own body. Now in verse 5, John Stott has got a wonderful little comment on this, that what God did to Abraham is what Paul did to the Galatians. As you see, Paul did to the Galatians and placated Jesus Christ before them, showed them, took them to that place of Calvary. And so it was that on that very night is that God took Abraham, and you find it there in verse 5, and he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And God came and he said, Abraham, you see the stars? Have you ever seen them on a clear night? When the heavens are full with a glittering light and you don't know where to begin, God came and said, Abraham, look to those stars. That's what your descendants will be. You're old and your body hasn't strength, and Noah's your wife. And you know, Abraham believed God. He believed God. And on that moment when he believed that promise of God, it says, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Let's just hold on for that for a moment. I know that when we speak of what it is to be made right with God, let's just take this idea that it was accounted to him, reckoned to him, credited to him for righteousness. And it wasn't because of anything that he did, but it tells us quite plainly, he believed God and it accounted to him. If I can give you just this illustration, and I'll expand on it. You think of people who have our bank accounts. And I know there are many perhaps who've got bank accounts, and it's always perhaps very close to the edge. And if you get under a certain point, then there are charges which come, and the pressure of that each and every day. You know of your account, don't you? How much you've got in your account. There are those carrying big burdens because of debt, because of their account. We've got a problem with gambling. Many are taking their lives because of the debt they've got into. There are many who know what it is to scrimp and to save, and they come to a point, but they can never get out of the debt which is in that account of theirs. And they're in debt, but they still operate, and they still pay the bills, and they still get their food. But each and every day, because of the interest, because of the charges, there's that kind of debt which seems to be more and more. And you know, in one sense, that's every single one of us before God. It was Abraham before God. Every one of us knows what it is to be in this awful place of debt. I know it was Philip Doddridge who tried to calculate of how many sins that we commit each day in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. And can you imagine it, of every particular day that there's more debt? Oh, but thankfully, there was a man called Tedzel, and he came along. He told people, if you just give a few quid, throw a coin in the coffer rings, those sins you got, they'd be paid for. They'd be, oh, aren't you thankful? And you think, well, how much could you possibly pay to pay off those very debts? And you know yourself, it's impossible. But the wonderful thing is this, is that on that very day, is that when Abraham believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And in that very account, accredited to him, reckoned to him, whatever that debt may be, whatever the burdens and whatever those sins are, there is a righteousness that God places to our account. And it is so great, and it is so vast, that where could we begin, that you could know what it is now to be accounted righteous with him. And when God accounts into your account, let me say to you, it's not just as people say, as if you've never sinned. I've broken even. The righteousness he's come to give and to apply to your account is none other than the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And where sin abounds, I assure you, grace has much more abounded. And if you could think of your little account now and the difficulties that you're in, but then a day comes and Elon Musk comes and puts his wealth into your account, and you realize in that very place that you know that all that you had swallowed up, you know that you haven't got the days even to come and spend it all. You know that you can't even get rid of it all because of the blessings that's in that Jesus Christ has placed in your account. And it was because he believed in that very promise. Now look there in verse 7. There's an application to this. When he says, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. That couldn't be clearer. Therefore, no, only. It wasn't that Abraham thought of his good works. It wasn't because of something that he did as such in himself. He simply believed God. And you know, tonight, you're going to have to come to this place of what it is. We're living in a crazy world, and we've got a crazy church where it comes and wants to believe all kinds of things. Look, there is a one way only, no other way. Only those who are of faith are the children of God. It's not because of anything, of any parentage, of any heritage, of any ritual. Look, how plain could that possibly be? He believed God. It's not because of any water that's been placed on your forehead, not because of anything that your parents have ever done, not because of any word spoken over you as a child. Faith. You've got to come to faith and believe in him. And I know we've got those, they say, I want to be a Christian, and I want to be a Jewish Christian, and I want to be a Messianic Christian, and I want to add something else. Now the blessings are simply this, is that you tonight, you need to know that faith, just as Abraham. You're Abraham. Your faith that you've come to believe, and you believe in the great promise of God. No, it's quite plain. You find it there in John chapter 1 and in verse then 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's the example of Abraham. But then now, something else, even more wonderful as such. In verse 8, it was what Abraham was taught. And it's what God preached to Abraham. What we're saying tonight, we want you to know that there's not anything new in any shape or any form. This is what we've got here in this very place. There are not now two gospels. There's not a gospel for the Old Testament, and there's a new gospel for the New Testament. No, let's read the verse. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So now they're being told that this word, which I'm speaking to you tonight, is the very word, you see, which Abraham, these scriptures themselves, they speak of the time when God would bless the nations. I know we have that verse in Acts, and this promise is to your children. Yes. What else does it say? And to those who are far off, and to those who call upon the name of the Lord. Now look, in the very gospel, which was preached to Abraham, let's look at it here in verse 8, that God would justify the Gentiles. That is, that God would account them right by faith, that God would declare them right in his sight. God spoke that word, and these scriptures speak of it. Now, I don't know if you have trouble when you read your Bible and you wonder about what it means and you wonder about the message. Well, let me give you this key. It's a very simple key, but it will help you no end. It's as clear as day. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the nations. You want the key to unlock the word of God. The message is this. There is a God. And throughout the scriptures, when you read time and time again of the saints who trusted in him, put their lives in his hands, when you read of this account, it's telling us of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened was this, is that when you come to this very word, what takes place is that when you come to read it, you say, there's a key. It's telling me there's a God. It's telling me to trust in him. It's telling me there's salvation. You read its page. That's what this message is about. That you this night can know what it is to be right with God. And you know something else? It tells us, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand. God did that. If one way there's something good about being a preacher is that God himself has been a preacher himself. And there were many occasions in this word where God has preached this very word. I'll just give you just two points. It's found there in Genesis chapter 12, and I'll put it there in the last verse, in verse 3 of that chapter. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God told Abraham when he came out of the Ur of the Chaldees that you were going to be a blessing, or your seed was going to be a blessing. A seed was going to be given to you, and other nations would be blessed through you. You get then another time when God preached to Abraham the great gospel. You find it in Genesis chapter 22. You know the account, don't you? Where God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac. And when you've taken Isaac, you lay him on the altar. And Abraham did all that. And in verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And then you've got these wonderful words in verse 14. And Abraham, where God spoke to him, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this, you've not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. God spoke to Abraham and said to Abraham, these nations will be blessed. And it was a son which was to be given, a lamb which was to be provided, a sacrifice which was to be made, an offering which was to be given, and blessing which was to come. Do you know, that was the gospel which was preached by God to Abraham. It's exactly the same message that we're preaching tonight as we come to this place. There are not two messages. There is one gospel, and it goes from the Old Testament, it goes from Eden, comes to Abraham, comes all the way through, and that you can know what it is to be right with God. Please, if I offend you in any way, there are not two ways of salvation. None of this nonsense that there are those who have to opt out and there are others who have to opt in. It's rubbish. Total rubbish. What it is simply this. Every single one needs to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. It's the great good news which was preached. That gospel to Abraham. What is the gospel? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the gospel which came then in these days, came then to him. Just showing you that God's got a message for you tonight, and you say, what is this book all about? It's a great key that you can be right with God, even you. But look, there's something else now in verse 9. It's not only what Abraham then came, and he is an example, and what Abraham was taught. But look in verse 9, the end of verse 8, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And tonight, may it be that every one of us will know this, the blessing which was with Abraham. It's the blessing that we also then bless with. Please, we need to get it right. Look, if we get it wrong, we can really be wrong. What are the blessings of Abraham? You say, well, don't you know the blessings of Abraham are surely the promised land? Well, if that's the case, I'm a child of faith. I need to get my plot and my holiday home. But it can't be. What are the blessings of Abraham? Let me give them to you. The blessings of Abraham first was this, that he was justified. And the blessing of being justified tonight is a wonderful one. In your heart, in your soul, there's not anything like it. It is peace with God. We talk this day about people who are so anxious, so burdened. Look, we're living in a day where people don't know the gospel. They carry such guilt and they carry such shame. People don't know of the great remedy that it is possible. People are trying their best to do something. But when you come and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can know what it is of a conscience which is wiped clean. You can know what it is to have peace with your Maker. You can know what it is to eat your food and enjoy your days with a conscience and a freedom from guilt and shame. And you know there are no richer blessings than that which are found, which is in that, in your heart and in your experience. You need to know it. Abraham knew it. You can know it even tonight. Do you know the blessings? Shall I tell you another blessing? Is it not this? You become of the family of God. There's Father Abraham. There's your brothers and sisters. That you become, as we read here, you are the sons of Abraham. Now, does not that thrill you in one way? Of all, you know, the things that have happened to you in your life, have you never even thought and considered that you belong to the family of God, to the church of God? And when I read of those old saints, and you read of their lives, now no one's perfect. Do you see that person there? That's my brother. This one's my sister. This martyr belongs to me. This one is part of my family. These are people I never deserved to be part of. How I could ever enter into such a family. I know we got faults and we got failings. There are many things about us. But you know, to actually be counted with the very family of God, that's amazing. You know, I've told you many times, and people say sometimes, you know, Chris, I'm going to have to leave because of various things, whatever. And I say to them these words, and it's been my thought, you know, there was a time in my life where I was not part of the family of God. And you know what amazes me more than anything else? That I belong to that family now. And I'll be honest with you, I don't deserve to be in the worst church that God has got on this planet. I'm just thankful that I'm part of such a people. Shall I tell you another blessing which is given? Because you're part of the family of God, you're heirs of God. The wonderful heirs of the Abraham, the blessing which is of him. And like I mentioned to you, that when Abraham was on this world, it says that he looked for a city and whose maker, you know, and whose foundation was not of this world. And the blessings which Abraham looked to, it was it not the blessings that one day that those who would be buried in faith would rise again? That one day we would be with God and there was a new city that we could dwell in. There's going to be a place that we're going to sing about after, a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. And there's a day which is coming. And I know people can say, but Abraham was wealthy and Abraham had this. No, the blessings that Abraham looked to were not even the land in which he roamed and had no part in except for a burial plot. There was another little place. And it's the blessings that you can be, even now, of that family of God and your heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ and his glory, which shall be then to him. What a blessing, the blessings of Abraham. Should I tell you another blessing? Here's another blessing. Here's one. Here's a blessing. Abraham was a blessing in being a blessing. That's a blessing. Through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And when that was given to Abraham, there was something that was put upon him. There was that which was set apart. He was to be a light to others around him. Through then, that which was to happen, Jesus Christ obviously was going to be born from the seed of Abraham. Many were going to be blessed. Now, in your life tonight, you're part of the same blessings of Abraham. And that seed which was promised to him has been given to us, and you've got that where you're to be light to those who are in darkness. You're then the one who is to minister the things of God's grace to those who have no knowledge of the things of him. You're the one to tell them of how they can know of the forgiveness of sins. You're the one who is able from this place. Do you know the blessing of being able to serve and to give and to share with others what you've come to know? Oh, that's good, and we need that. Shall I give you another one? There's another one. The blessing of Abraham. You say, what is it? Oh, Abram was then given a new name called Abraham. And those who become Christians, just as Peter came to Christ, he was given a new name. And these names, they mean something. He was not Abraham, he'll be called Abraham. And Jacob shall be called Israel. And you as a Christian have a new name which is going to be written upon you, because God will not only justify you, but he'll give you a new name, a new nature, a new life. And he'll give something then to speak of. And that will be a means, that will be a testimony. And they'll talk of you in a different way and give you then that old name you had, a new name, that new name of love which God has written upon one's heart. Look, there is the blessings of Abraham that we're all to experience. You're to experience. You're to know. You're to come by faith. You're to experience these very blessings. And so, as he tells us here in verse 9, then to those who are of faith, only those who are of faith. Now, we've got a great need as a church this day to get the gospel right. You can interpret the scriptures in many ways, but that says to us, the scriptures testify that God would justify the nations. But there's also a great need for every one of us here tonight to be right, to be right. I don't know what makes you think that you're right with God. Crazy ideas are in people's heads and in people's minds. Whatever that crazy idea is, because if it's not of faith in Jesus Christ alone, it's crazy. It's bonkers. What you need for all the debt that you've got is somehow to be accounted righteousness in your account, to be accredited what you don't have. And God says, just like Abraham, there's no other way. Just like you came to know, you believe. Believe in his promise, believe in his word, believe in Jesus Christ. And you know, all these blessings, you know, they are yours, you know, even then, this night.